This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
In season or off season, you and your car make a great team. Take care of it with Chevron with Techron for unbeatable cleaning and mileage. It's a winning play. Chevron, together ahead. And guys, it's been fun over the last, I actually saw a tweet that it had been 63 days since the Dolphins' last defeat, and that was a fun 63 days. Kind of got the football juices going back for us again, and I would say seven consecutive best shows here on the postgame show, Seth. I don't know if you agree or disagree.
Sure, I'll agree. And we're a bunch of spoiled-ass fans. They won seven in a row. And everybody's acting here like they were a number one seed.
But my favorite part about the winning streak, I think, is that we didn't get the weekly questions. And we even had it invade the lunch bunch, you know, our Twitter feeds, whatever the case was. They were asking us to ask for people's heads, and we just never were going to do that. And we're still not going to do that. But I do think in order to do the job the right way, we have to be able to ask critical questions. And in this game, I thought there was some really curious things that unfolded, and it started for me, Juice, and we talked about this during the game. It kind of was a nice conversation, not a fiery debate, more of a conversation, but the decision when they were down 10, I believe it was, to hand the ball off on 3rd and 10 to set themselves up for a 39-yard field goal. They gained 6 yards, so it was a 45-yard field goal, which you just gave your kicker a big contract extension. He's supposed to be one of the best kickers in the game, the All-Pro last year in the National Football League. Does he really need 6 more yards? Why can't we try for a first down there?
Yeah, he definitely doesn't seem like he should need that much. You know, I mean, Coach talked about a lot, field condition and things like that. Both teams played on it. But, you know, I think no matter what, we play so conservative all the time. And we're a team that's down. You can't play as conservative. You got to take some more shots. And Seth said it. We did take some shots down the field today. We missed them. We made one. We missed the rest of them pretty much. You know, I was shocked at how the way the game started, you know, the pass to Devontae, you know, for 20. And, you know, I thought we were going to throw the ball around the yard a lot. But then it got back to our old game plan. Short dink and dunk, and then the field started shrinking on them. They're playing cover four straight across, not worrying about anybody going by them, you know. So I don't think so, Travis. I think we got 3rd and 10. We got to try to find a way to convert that first down, you know, and keep the drive alive. We got a kicker that's getting paid a lot of money, like you talked about, and he's been spot on for the most part. You know, he banged one off the crossbar today. But at the same time, though, man, that amount of, you know, that amount of yards that we gained on that, it was not a difference maker, you know?
I shocker here, I disagree with you guys on this one. To me, it was absolutely critical that they came away with points at that point in the game. It was down 10-0, couldn't hold on to the ball.
They would have came away with points if they didn't gain any yards right there.
There's no guarantee. Has he been automatic this year?
Man, and well, we talked about the money he's paid. The money he's paid.
What does that have to do with how he's played this year?
I said 50-something yards. Well, it doesn't matter.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? They gave him a shot at 53.
Well, they had to take that shot at 53 at that point. They, you know, but here, look. Duke Johnson ran the ball well today. That's part A. B, you're down 2 scores now. and you can barely take a snap. You can't throw the ball without it bouncing off your hand. You know, they needed to get points. It's a one-score game at that point in a game with inclement weather, tough conditions, playoff quote-unquote football. They're only down by seven there. Who cares? They're only down by seven at that point. I have no problem with that decision. I got problems with other things that happened today.
Now,
that's not one of them.
Does it factor into the decision the way the quarterback was playing or the way you projected him to play in that situation? Because, I mean, I can't fathom shorting the kick by 6 yards in that range. I can understand going from 55 to 49. I can't understand 45 to 39, Juice. And, you know, I guess my question to you, Seth, because we come in 2-1 on this one, does that then kind of excuse the performance Tua Tagovailoa had today because the conditions were bad, so we couldn't put it in his hands because of that?
No, I don't think it's about excusing anything or not. I think, you know, every situation is a unique situation, and at that point you're down 2 scores, your quarterback is not playing well, your defense is actually playing really well and has had their back against the wall. You need to come away with points. You need to reward your defense for the way that they've played. You need to give your young, struggling quarterback an opportunity to feel like he's had some kind of success on a drive. And if they throw an errant pass or another poor snap, or you take a step, anything negative that can happen, I don't think it was about picking up 6 yards. And the reality is, if he got stuffed for 1 yard, you're still in that same situation as you were with an incomplete pass. But I think they wanted the lowest risk play as possible so they could come away with points. I'm okay with that.
They need to take off the kid's gloves then, Big Seth. He's not a rookie anymore, Big Seth.
I didn't call him a rookie.
Yeah, he's not a young. You called him young. He's 2 years in the league now, man.
Okay.
It's time to step it up.
He wasn't playing well, though.
The average lifespan of the league is just over a little short of 3 years.
He's going to play more than three. He has to,
I'm saying. But, I mean, he's not young anymore in this game. He's young in age, but he's not young in this game, man. And so you got to start taking these kids' gloves off and letting him let it rip sometimes. And all this little dink dunk stuff we talked about, I get.
I'm not saying all day, though. I'm just saying in that situation, I have no problem with that. They needed to come away with points. I talked about this during this 7-game losing streak. There were so many opportunities. And I know Travis likes to be aggressive and go for it on every fourth down and play pull out the charts and all that analytics stuff. In that moment, just come away with points. Do not miss a scoring opportunity. And guess what? It's the only damn points they scored all day, so I'm glad they at least got those.
Well, to continue the discussion about the analytics decided this, I don't think the difference in a drop between 39 to 45 yards is a big enough
That's
drop.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, Travis, is that the risk-reward of having your struggling quarterback drop back and make another mistake at that point.
So you're worried about him making mistakes?
Yes,
right there,
100%.
Yeah. 100%. The reason I wanted to peel that back is because that's a bigger issue.
Yeah.
It's a huge, much bigger issue.
Huge issue right there.
Absolutely it is. Look what was happening.
So it means every time he drops back, you got to worry about
him
making
a mistake.
Not every time. I mean,
that's not what it means, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying in that moment, you have to make a decision, right? You got to call a play. And if he called a passing play and we didn't like the passing play, we say we don't like that play. And is that Tua's fault or is that one of the offensive coordinator's fault? I don't know. All I'm saying is Duke Johnson was running physical. He was running downhill. He was gaining chunks of yardage every time he touched the ball. And it was the safest play to ensure that you came away with points on that drive. And I'm okay with that.
And that was their first drive of the second quarter. Duke Johnson goes for 14, then for 11, then Tua had a first down pass. They set themselves up for a 3rd and 1, and then we had another fumbled exchange between Tua and the center, I believe it was, and then the 4th and 2 conversion, and then pass, run on 3rd and 10, set the field goal up. So I thought that, you know, you mentioned Duke getting it going. He averaged 7 yards per rush in this game, albeit just 7 carries, but 49 yards for Duke. He got it cranking again. But Juice, and then
if they got so much trust in Duke, why is he only getting 7 totes? Both teams had the same amount of plays.
It was a tight game for
early in the game. They could have done that for the first half, right?
They were down by 14 when they went into the half.
But you can still run the football in the first half down 2 touchdowns.
I'd have no problems if they had given Duke more carries that game. And I certainly didn't have a problem on that play.
I think the greater question I'm asking about is, why is there this kind of disconnect between what you want to be offensively? Because you do that and then you go away from it. You get this 45-yard ball from Tua to Waddle, and it looks like That's the kind of throw that can get your quarterback going, right? We talked about early in this game. Why does Waddle always, why does Tua always have to kind of get warmed up in games? Juice asked me that question. I said, yeah, it seems like he's a slow starter. I expect him to get going. He really didn't, but that 45-yard pass might be one of those situations where it gets going. And then it's double reverse flea flicker. And then the following drive is a Mike Gesicki pass.
So I'm with you there.
So
I don't know what that was.
What are we trying to do offensively is my question.
Great question. Yo, you're asking. We need to talk to those co-OCs on that one, man, because I'm going to tell you what. Because
I've liked the plan recently.
They're trying to make anything work. They're throwing a lot of things against the wall and see what sticks. But obviously they don't think it can be done by just letting Tua sit back there and let it rip. I mean, that's obvious right there. And then back to, you know, some of the run game stuff. I mean, we got so behind the sticks again, running on first down, you know, for 0 yards, running on second down for 2 yards. Now, like Tua talked about, 3rd and 8 and 3rd and 9. That's what has to change more than anything. And but if is that lack of trust in Tua? We're watching games now. We're always watching these other games, and we see these other quarterbacks get a chance to let it rip on whatever down it is. We get so conservative, you know, early in games, then we get down. Now what? All of a sudden we're gonna try to make something happen as an offense throwing the ball down the field. The slow start stuff, Travis, drives me nuts. Because honestly, the first 10 plays are probably scripted. And they should work out. But then when you get behind the chains, like we talked about, then everything changes. And that's been a problem for us. And then when you can't trust your 5th overall pick to make up a play on 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10. No, that's a problem. It's a huge problem.
Last year, that was kind of the story of the end of the season, too. And we talk about, you know, these two kind of defining type of games early here in Tua's career, early in the Brian Flores era, as the Buffalo game last year, the Titans game this year, going about as poorly as they possibly could as far as how the Dolphins' perspective comes into it. And last year the drop passes were a big deal in that Buffalo game. That wasn't the case today. It was just inaccurate throws and one thing or another and mistakes here and there. And just to kind of go back to the idea of trusting the quarterback, like, it kind of reminds me of, there was a 2018 game against the Colts. Miami got up by a couple of scores and Adam Gase just went run pass to Tannehill, run pass, and they just took the air out of the ball, and the Colts wind up getting their scores. And you kind of felt like that was the last moment there for him in Miami, because they didn't trust him to make the plays when they needed to, and that's not indicative of a franchise quarterback that you want to build around. So it just keeps coming back to me to, if this is who you're going to build around, and who you're going to trust in, when does that start to happen?
Yeah, I think it's the word about the big mistake, right? And that's the thing that, you know, you have to either figure it out. Are you worried about a guy that's going to go down there? Or, like, for us, looking on the outside, from the outside looking in, are we thinking that, you know, Tua's going to go down there and make a big mistake, or is he going to make a big play? What are you thinking? Seth, you think he's going to make a big mistake, right?
Well, today I certainly did.
Yeah.
Today I certainly did. And look, here's the reality, guys. There's what you think should be the case, right? What a number 5 overall selection quarterback. This is, you know, well, a guy in that position should be doing this or that, and look what Herbert's doing. And then there's what you have, right? And so are you going to make calls based on what we think should happen? We're going to make a call, well, this kicker should make it because we paid him all that money. Well, at 15 games in the season.
No, we do that because we've seen it over the years that a kicker made those kicks.
Right, but this year he hasn't. This year he just flat out hasn't been as consistent. Right, so then you have to think about what you have this year. This is my whole argument against the analytics, is that I don't care what happened 2 years ago. You know, at some point you got to build up equity or you don't. I don't think Tua's built up enough equity for them to just let him go ham. And then when you watch a game where he can't take the snap from center.
But rookie quarterbacks haven't built up much equity either, but they let them go ham. This is a second-year guy we're talking about, right?
I don't understand the
Our
question.
Guy. But, you know, build up enough equity. Who's built up enough equity?
You build
some
up
of these young
the
guys, week one, they're letting them go ham.
These young guys, you got to coach the player that you have. And so, first of all, I don't think that this coaching staff is a let-anybody-go-ham kind of coaching staff. That's
gotcha.
Number one. I just don't think that that's their style. But number two, do you think that Tua's built up enough equity? I don't care what anybody else is doing. I'm not talking about anybody else. I'm talking about Tua.
Tua hasn't shown me enough of anything yet.
Well, there you go. So if you were the offensive coordinator, what would you be calling?
I'd be calling some pass plays on 3rd and 10 is what I'd be calling.
Okay. Well, on that play, you would have wanted points. I know you would have wanted points,
please.
I think there.
Unless you were calling the play
yourself.
The
difference in agreement here is that I think what Juice is saying, I don't want to speak for you, Juice, but what I'm saying is that I go into plays or into games or situations with the expectation to execute. And if we don't, then we'll deal with the fallout. But I don't like playing the game asking what can go wrong.
But they didn't. They didn't. They came out throwing the ball.
But then they stopped.
In that situation, they took the ball out of his
hand. Right, because you said you don't want to go into games asking what could go wrong. But then they came out throwing the ball, and then you saw what was going wrong.
I just think when you're down by 14 points and you decide you're going to start really handcuffing the offense, you put yourself at almost a negative margin for error.
But when did that happen?
What went wrong with you is missing his guys. That's what was going wrong.
Yes, that's my whole point, guys. That's my whole point is they were calling passing plays. You're upset about one play that led to points. By the way, it was the only play the entire game that led to points for the Miami Dolphins.
I just hate field goals, Seth. You know I hate field goals.
Well, listen, be glad that you got one today.
and then you mentioned kind of throwing the ball vertically. It did seem like some of those intermediate throws to Devontae and Mike, it looked like they were there, but just couldn't quite hit them. So we talk about the quarterback play. We talk about the offense. I think the general idea is it has to get better, and it has to get better quickly. Where was Jalen Waddle in this game? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the rush defense, plenty more to come here on the fifth quarter postgame show. Get your new Mazda with Gunther Plus at Gunther Mazda or online at GuntherMazda.com. For car buying done your way, you gotta get to Gunther. Again, the final score from Nashville, Titans 34, Dolphins 3. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. Dade County Federal Credit Union, the official credit union of the Miami Dolphins, is now offering the perfect checking account with a Miami Dolphins branded debit card. This account offers rewards for Dolphins. Become a member today by visiting finscu.com for details. Certain restrictions apply. Federally insured by NCUA. And we're going to go ahead and do this segment here. The Lexus Drive of the Game is brought to you by your South Florida Lexus dealers, who encourage you to experience amazing. It's a 9-play, 54-yard drive, Seth. 4 minutes, 28 seconds, and a field goal. That's for you, my friend.
Well, listen, the field goal was for all of us because it's the only points they scored all game.
I got to have some fun with it.
You know, you guys are sitting here indicating as if I'm excited about field goals. No, but I'm excited about being god-awful in the first quarter, and then you start the second quarter off with points, and you close the gap to a one-score game. I like that.
It was a good situation, especially after the situation they had just come off of where ball slips through Tua's hands on that pass. All of a sudden, a 7-0 deficit with the Titans at the plus 14-yard line. I mean, the defense bowed up right there, Seth, and got that stop and gave the Dolphins a chance to at least try to get back into the game with our field goal drive of the game.
That's exactly our field goal drive of the game. I love it. Okay, and, you know, here's something else. And by the way, I have no problem with the fact that they were throwing the ball on first down. But on this drive, first and 10 from the 25, Duke Johnson for 14 yards. First and 10 from the 39, Duke Johnson for 11 yards. Boy, this is working out pretty well, guys. First and 10 from the 50. Okay, Lindsey gets a one-yard gain. And the next time they have a first and 10 down to the Tennessee 27, and Tua throws the ball short left to Waddle, incomplete. Okay? So running the ball wasn't terrible on that drive for him. And I wish they had run the ball a little bit more and maybe scored a few more points.
That seemed to be the only success either offense was having early on in this game. Tannehill was a little bit off. We talked about Jerome Baker getting in the passing lane on one of those little dig routes off play action they throw. Xavier Howard had a pass breakup. It was going early on like you expected it to. That was the defense. The offense in our Lexus drive of the game is brought to you by your South Florida Lexus dealers, who encourage you to see, hear, feel, and experience amazing. Juice, you missed about 1 minute, but you missed the drive of the game because, well, didn't have one to really talk about. So we're on the other side of that now, and I wanted to pick it right back up here with something we left off on in the previous segment in the offense. Did you want to jump in real quick?
Well, no. You mentioned Ryan Tannehill.
Okay.
13 for 18, 120 yards, two touchdowns, and 127.1 rating. 13 for 18 for 120 yards doesn't get anybody excited. That looks to me like a stat line that Tua had during the 7-game winning streak. That's the type of football when the Dolphins win that the Dolphins are playing. Tennessee didn't do a whole lot different than what Miami typically does when they're successful or what they try to do. They really don't. So, you know, it's one of these things where we're just complaining about the offense today. Tua just didn't play well, guys. I mean, that's the bottom line. He just didn't play well. So, you know, did they not have faith in Ryan Tannehill today? Or did they call the game based on the conditions?
This is how they always call it.
Well, sure.
They always call it for
him. But this is how the Dolphins always call it, Juice.
You can't call like that when you can't run the ball like that.
But they threw it 38 times. It wasn't like they didn't try to throw the ball. They threw it 39 times. And actually, they attempted two others that didn't count. They had the penalty, and it looks like they didn't count the Jacoby pass,
right,
which is interesting to me. And they didn't count Tua had his second throw of the game was a 14-yard gain on the screen pass that came back because it was an illegal man downfield. And if you didn't know, Austin Jackson took a play off. Solomon Kinley came in and found out what happened there. It's a good thing that we did. But, you know, so they threw the ball 39 times. I don't want them to have to throw the ball 39 times. You're saying, well, when you're down 14 points, when you're down 20 points, they did. They threw the ball. They just didn't throw it well.
But to that point, what I was going to ask Juice was, and you mentioned, you know, Tua didn't play well, and I agree with that. I think we all agree with that. It wasn't a good game for him. But when this offense, Juice, goes into these crevices that are just like insurmountable, where you feel like we got to kick a field goal here because we can only score a field goal at this point of the game, it just seems like there's these mistakes, the penalties, the sacks allowed, the drops, the misfires, the misreads by that, whatever. Like everyone is taking turns making mistakes on that side of the football. So I guess my question is, in a game on a day where Jalen Waddle gets erased for the first time, really over the course of the second half of the season, for the first time, what is this offense like? What can you hang your hat on with this offense, and how do you get it to the point to where in a game like this they can find a way to execute and have that Ryan Tannehill type of game?
We gotta be able to run the ball, like Seth wants us to do. No, we do have to run the ball. We do have to find a way to run the ball to keep guys off balance and put us in manageable down. Our down and distance situation was so bad today for these guys.
Terrible.
It was really bad, and it started off with our inability to run the ball early in downs, or we're running these. I hate these tight end diagonals for minus 1 yard, 0 yards, or 1 yard, where guys are not even buying it down the field. These DBs are coming up. And a tight end catches the ball and he's getting hit immediately. That's what we've done that a lot. That's one of our MOs right there, running that type of play right there. So for us, when we can't run the ball effectively, we've got to be able to throw it effectively, right? So when we can't do either one, we get stumped 34-3. And if we can't run it, then we got to count our number fifth overall pick to be the guy that picks it up for us.
So I agree with that part. Tua needs to be better, okay? Because I think that my whole point here is getting just twisted and turned and out of whack. And I don't care who disagrees with me, but I don't want to be misrepresented. And so what I'm saying to you is Tua needs to play better. That's number one. He was bad today. Throwing balls in the dirt, throwing the ball over guys' heads, 15 yards over their heads, throwing a ball directly to Tennessee receivers, not throwing the ball, but trying to throw the ball empty-handed. He was bad today. Was not good enough. That's problematic. So I agree with you there. I do challenge what you're saying about weren't able to run the ball well enough in the first quarter. Going back to your first down, I just went and sat there and counted it. They had 7 first down opportunities, and they threw it on 4 of them. All right? One of them, they had to come back because of the penalty. And they
What type of passes were they, Big Seth?
Well, the first one was a 20-yard pass down the
first
field.
First play.
Great play to Parker.
What else we got?
The second one was a screen play that worked very well if you execute properly.
So there are your 2 passes. Now what else we got?
And then they didn't throw the ball well, Juice. So I don't understand what we're arguing.
But you said we ran it those other downs, correct?
And they had a 16-yard run by Duke.
Then we run on second down, correct or no? What series are you talking about? To put them all together, all your first
downs?
Here's
my point to you guys, because all of this started with you guys being unhappy that they came away with a field goal at the start of the second quarter.
That's not what we're unhappy about.
You were unhappy that they didn't throw the ball
on
3rd and 10.
About.
Yeah, and
yeah.
I'm telling you, throwing the ball didn't work in the first quarter. That's what I'm telling you.
But it worked on the first 2 plays you just talked about, though. But
and then they went to hell.
Okay?
Right. This is their first 4 drives. Punt, 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 fumble. So if you start off on the road, playoff-type football, against a physical team that runs the air out of the ball in inclement conditions, and you're struggling to get anything going offensively, and you start with punt, 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 fumble, and you have a chance to get points on the board, you take those points, and you do something safe, and you make
you
sure
you come away
with
points. You would have had a chance to get those points to play before
that. I don't know if they would. Juice, did you watch that?
Yeah, I did.
That ball was slipping out of everybody's hands, or at least one guy's hands.
Well, it wasn't slipping out of their team's hands.
But you're not coaching their team.
That's what I'm saying.
You're
what
not
are you
coaching
about?
Their team.
So what do you, Seth, I'm confused at what you're trying to say.
I'm trying to say get points.
Okay.
What about this counter argument that if you're saying get points, but in a day where the offense is sluggish and you have a chance in scoring range to possibly put a touchdown on the board, don't you kind of have to give yourself an opportunity to make up those 4 points? Because I mean, to go 10-7 at that point would have been very beneficial, much more than 10-3 would be. So to even take yourself out of a position, because when you decide to run the ball on 3rd and 10, you're accepting a field goal, right? Do we agree with that? That's the outcome you're accepting?
Sure, sure. We'll go with that. Sure. Yes. I'll ride with that.
So when you're down 10 points in a game where the offense has gone punt, 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 fumble, doesn't it make sense that we should take advantage of every single opportunity? I almost feel like it's in some way saying if you get the ball with 20 seconds to go at the end of the half and it's a close game, but you don't want to make a risk, that you just sit on the football. I hate sitting on drives and taking away opportunities.
But that's not what this was. This was the first drive of the second quarter, so I don't think you can compare it to that. I don't think that's what this was. This was an opportunity to get on the board on the road against a tough team and to say, we're in this game, fellas, as bad as we played in that first quarter. We can't even hold on to the damn football, but it's 10-3. We're in it. And there's no situation that I would let my team get off the field without points there.
I think the argument's been ran its course, Juice, but I still don't agree. I think we just come down differently on this.
That's
one.
All right.
I guess that's what makes
good. Guy gets paid millions of dollars to coach this football team who just won 7 in a row, agreed. So, you know, I feel okay about it.
I don't think he made the decision.
Well, I mean,
I don't think there's a decision that happens out there that doesn't go through him first. That's my opinion.
That sounds accurate to me. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break here. I wanted to ask about Waddle not getting going in this game, but we'll come back and talk about that here in a second.
That's next segment. We can all agree on that.
Get your new Mazda with Gunther Plus at Gunther Mazda or online at GuntherMazda.com. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from Nashville, 34-3. The Dolphins lose. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beach. Give your game day menu the perfect kick of spice with Old El Paso. Try recipes the whole team will love, like slow cooker cheesy chicken enchilada bean dip, air fryer beef taquitos, or carnitas mini taco bowls. Visit oldelpaso.com for these recipes and more game day favorites. Old El Paso Taco Together. The Cougs just played a bowl game in El Paso. I know it's not the same. Is that where Old El Paso is located, in El Paso, Texas? They played a bowl game there and got beat by Central Michigan. So it's been a fun weekend for me. But let's go back to this game here. The Dolphins lose 34-3 in Nashville. And a big part of this, guys, I think we kind of all agree, was the run defense did not hold up their end of the bargain. In fact, we heard Brian Flores mention in his postgame press conference that they didn't have enough chances to put pressure on Tannehill, which I think there was maybe one play in the game where I felt like they effectively, against his will, moved him off the spot. Otherwise, he was booting to the right side. He was throwing screens right into the blitz, which is where you want to go with it. And the reason they couldn't do that was because the Titans were ahead of the schedule. They had success in the ground game. Deontay Foreman, 14 for 70 and a touchdown at the halftime break. He then has that 30-yard wildcat play to really ice it mid-fourth quarter. They're up 14. They go back into scoring range. They end the game, Juice, 40 for 190, two touchdowns on the ground. And then, of course, they built the passing game off of what they were able to do in the rushing game, because Tannehill, just like Seth mentioned, 13 for 18, 120, and two touchdowns. That was before their final drive. I don't think he threw it again, though. But the point is the rushing defense, 40 for 190, Juice.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that came at the end. But what they did effectively with that run game against us was they made everything manageable. You know, 2nd and 5, 2nd and 4, you know, 3rd and 2. And they gave Tannehill all kinds of opportunities to either get on the naked boot by himself, or, you know, the little rollout to the tight ends or whatever, put him in very easy situations. They've made the run game made this a lot easier on Tannehill than anything else did. And their ability to get down there and not have very many tackles. We're so used to tackles for losses and sacks and things like that that are game changers for us as a team. You know, to put teams in those, and Coach Flo even alluded to it, we couldn't even use our blitzes as much because we couldn't get them in bad down and distance situations. They were always in a distance or down and distance where they could run the football still. And that made it tough on us. And then at times in those situations too, Travis, our run fits weren't very good. We talked about it a lot. Seemed like somebody – and if you got 8 guys on the line of scrimmage, if somebody's not in the right fit, there's only a little crease and you're going to have – and you got Javon Holland coming up having to make a play. You got Brandon Jones having to come up and make a play. So for us, you know, our run defense wasn't what it needed to be, but more importantly, not putting them in bad down and distance is what made their run game, you know, was their run game was so effective, but that made it difficult on our defense because we couldn't get them in bad situations.
You mentioned Javon Holland. I thought he had a very uncharacteristic game as well, with a bad angle and a long touchdown run there. I think Duke Riley was in the game for Landon Roberts, and he was off that side where Roberts usually, like, he made that play early in the game to get that run stuff to help Miami get off the field early in the game. But just some uncharacteristic plays, and one of those things I thought was uncharacteristic, Seth, was we mentioned this, was how many times they were able to kind of stack things up at the line, and you have, you know, Zach Sealer, Christian Wilkins, Raekwon Davis, the names just keep coming, and it looks like it's plugged up, and the back, you know, whether it's Foreman or Hilliard or whoever they trotted out there in this game, would just kind of plow into the line, and then all of a sudden fall through that tackle for 3 or 4 yards, and yeah, that was the difference between 2nd and 9 and 2nd and 6 so often in this game, and I thought that was a huge difference in the game.
Agreed. You and Juice just hit the nail on the head. Couldn't agree with you more. I know a little bit different than what we saw in the last segment here. But you know, first down, they're picking up 4 to 6 yards at a clip. And that's a game changer all day long. And let's not forget, going back to what we just talked about, when your offense puts no pressure on their offense, they don't have to go away from that. They can continue to just ride their running backs and their running game. And Ryan Tannehill only has to throw the ball 18 times.
Yeah.
You know, and so you talk about being the most sacked quarterback in the league. Well, he's going to have to drop back more than 18 times if you're going to get him down on the ground. And there's got to be a little bit more pressure, not just actual pressure from the Dolphins front seven or whoever they're going to send pressure from, but there's got to be a little bit more pressure on those plays, on those series. Those series need to mean more to those guys, but they didn't need to. And so there was a play after the turnover there where we turn over the ball, I think, on our own 13-yard line or what have you, and they elect to kick the field goal, and there was some discussion about that. And I think, you know, we all ultimately decided on the fact that I think Vrabel realized, I don't think these guys are going to move the ball on us.
Right.
Let's just collect points wherever we can.
Right.
We'll take the 3 here when they give it to us. We'll take the 7. We'll hand the ball off. Nobody needs to do anything. Nobody needs to be Superman today.
Yeah.
It's probably a big surprise to you that I disagree with the decision to kick that field goal there.
Even now?
Yeah. We've been over this. We don't got to do it again. But that's how I feel. But, you know, just to kind of to that point, just to kind of set you up here was, you know, I look at the Dolphins defense as you have a lot of options against limited options of the opposing offense. And that's what you get in those 3rd and longs. But because they were able to execute, it kept open the Tannehill boot, right? The Tannehill sweeps, the Tannehill runs, the play action game, the little easy touchdown passes where guys are all alone in the corner of the end zone for Tannehill to just kind of flick that thing out there. So I thought what the Titans did was they kept their entire menu of plays open against this Dolphins defensive menu.
Yeah, they really did, man. What they've done well, and it was really amazing to see Foreman do it well, because Derrick Henry's a guy that made it a lot easier on, because Derrick Henry was not going to get hit in the backfield. He wasn't going to have tackle for the loss. They're always going to be ahead of the chains, and that's key. And when you get a team like that can run the ball effectively, Ryan's a super smart quarterback. You know, he's going to make the right decision. We come with our little blitzes from the back. He's able to get the ball out to a tight end, real easy throws. You know, he's not – you know, we had – I'm looking. I didn't realize we had 6 tackles for losses in this game against them when they only had 2 against us, you know. But even if we didn't get a tackle for a loss, we got 0 yards, 1 yard, 2 yards. But for them, they were getting those yards you're talking about, 3, 4, 5 yards on 1st and 2nd down, and then it made it real easy. Your whole playbook's still wide open in those situations.
Yeah, I just think, though, you know, I hear what you're saying about the running game, but I think that – if Tua had been more accurate today and they had completed some of those passes that were either 4 first downs or got you into 2nd and short, that Duke Johnson could have had a big day today.
Should have had a big
day. He was averaging 7 yards a carry. They just had to go away from him, to your point. They had to go away from him.
Well, you know, you get out there and you have – well, think about it. You get out there in a bad weather game, you got to be able to – you got to run the ball.
Yeah, we only had 16 attempts.
You got to be able to run the ball. And you know, most of that happened because we were down so much in the second half, we couldn't go back to the run game as much. But you have to be able to run the ball in bad weather like this.
Have we totally both just flipped everybody's –
well, no. I'm not saying – but we couldn't run the ball. So that's when you got – when you
but
can't
Duke
run
could?
The ball. Well, he had a couple chunk plays.
He had 7 yards of carry, man.
Yeah, a couple chunk plays.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two
runs that were chunky, right? Right? No?
I thought he ran the ball well.
always,
and I think he would have had a big day if Tua had been more accurate today. Mm.
So the pass game is helped the run game. Like they're just saying, if our pass game would have been better, it would have set up our run game better?
I think that if the pass game had been better or they had not fallen behind and given the Titans a short field to next thing you know they're down two scores, then they could have run the ball
more. Our pass game was better, we don't fall behind like that.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So then we can go into our run game? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying don't fall behind and you can run the ball more. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, and you talk about those kind of early completions they did get, like the first drive, for instance. It helped them get to a bit of a tempo that I thought kind of generated some success for the offense. But it's like, you know, Seth mentions, you can't execute this style of offense with the number of mistakes they've made really for the last 3 weeks now. I mean, you get 31 points against the Jets, but I just think that if you want to play this style of offense, Juice, it's got to be perfect at all times.
And I think one thing that we haven't really even talked about was there were some offensive mistakes other than the fumble and things like that, but miscommunication. We're in week 17. You know, we saw a couple passes where Devontae stopped and Tua threw it long. Devontae went inside, Tua threw it outside. I mean, how is that even possible at this stage of the season? You know, that's preseason type stuff right there. I know we put in new plays. You put in new plays every single week, but a lot of the concepts are all going to be the same. So to be on the wrong page on some of those was mind-boggling to me for a team that, you know, that has had guys. Devontae's been in the lineup since, what, the fifth game of our win streak, fourth game of our win streak, when he had to get back out there because I'm like, everybody's having too much fun. So that connection should have been there. So the mistakes that we had today, those are mental mistakes right there. Those are the ones you can't afford to have, you know, in a game like that. So, you know, you get situations out there where you got guys that are not on the right page. And I think Coach Flo even talked about it a little bit. You know, not only was there miscommunication, but there's also bad execution. You're going to get beat down like that.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. I think what it does is it kind of creates a lot of questions heading into the offseason. I know there's one more game left, but it did feel like a bit of finality to this game today. So I want to talk about next, where do we go from here? That and the out-of-town scoreboard coming up right after this. But get your new Mazda with Gunther Plus at Gunther Mazda or online at GuntherMazda.com. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from Nashville, 34-3. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Sopresso and Council Oak, and much, much more, only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. We have some Week 17 scores for you guys around the National Football League. Let's go ahead and cue up the music and talk about what's going on around the NFL. The Dolphins, of course, fall 34-3 in Nashville, a devastating loss for the Dolphins in Week number 17. The Bills win 29-15 over the Falcons at home in a snowy Buffalo. The Bears take it 29-3 over the Giants. The Giants are reeling right now with another loss onto their record. The Bengals get a big win in Kansas City, 34-31. Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow, big days out there. The Raiders, a big victory over the Colts, 23-20. Both teams now at 9-7. The Patriots have a 50-burger over the Jacksonville Jaguars, 50-10. In that game, they clinch a playoff spot as well. The Buccaneers have a comeback victory over the Jets. What a crazy scene there with Antonio Brown quitting mid-game, and he said, or Bruce Arians now says he will no longer be a Buccaneer. The Buccaneers win that game 28-24 to improve to 12-4. The Eagles win 20-16. They get to 9-7 after a 2-5 start, and the Rams take down the Ravens 20-19. A late score there from Matt Stafford makes them victorious. Current games right now, not great news for the Dolphins. The Chargers are up 17-3 over the Drew Lock-led Denver Broncos. The Texans, however, helping the draft pick next year, they're up 7-3 over the 49ers. The Cardinals on top of the Cowboys, 10-7. The Panthers on top of the Saints at halftime, 10-9. And the Seahawks rolling up the Fighting Dan Campbells, the Detroit Lions, 31-7 there in the Pacific Northwest. So, guys, I want to come back here and kind of talk more about what's ahead and what to expect going forward, because, you know, I told you the scores right there are not really going the Dolphins' way. It sounds more and more like Week 18 will be playing out the string next week at Hard Rock Stadium, which always hurts to hear, but that's where you find yourself after a 7-game losing streak within the season. So, Juice, I have 3 questions here. We don't have much time, so we can take this in the next segment too, but what has this season meant? What have we learned, and what do we need next year to get us over the hump with 2 years in a row just coming up short? It's a lot of questions, I know.
Yeah, man, it's a lot. Man, I tell you, we saw a lot from this team early that wasn't very good. Then we saw some resolve and, you know, and sticking together, some togetherness, you know, where they didn't quit on each other. They didn't quit on coach and coaching staff. But then again, you know, we found a team that also can't finish. You know, we didn't finish today, and that's one thing you have to figure out. There's some parts always missing on a football team. No matter how good the team is, always some missing parts. And so we just got to figure out what some of those missing parts are that we need. Another year with this O-line, they're going to be better. You know, everybody wants to say O-line, O-line, O-line. Go get one in free agency. You're not going to find a good O-lineman in free agency. Nobody lets go good O-lineman go. So you have to develop. You have to develop that. So I think that's key right there. I think we've also found a couple running backs in Duke Johnson and Philip Lindsay that could be possible a 1-2 punch with Myles Gaskin as the third guy. I like that. I like that situation that we saw there. Now we're going to need some guys on the outside still to get some work done. So what do we – I mean, I know you asked me three questions. I try to kind of answer them all at once. And I just know that right now it's very disappointing to think about what has happened. But we did see a team that did come together midway through the season and push for, you know, another playoff run. But we're so used to that. We got to get over that hump. We got to figure out a way to get over the hump of just trying to push for the playoffs, count on other people. We had an opportunity to control our own destiny. You know, we let it go today. You talk about the scores now, not looking as good as it did last week. Last Sunday was great.
Everything fell our way.
Monday was great.
Fun time.
Everything, then it's a different week, man. And when you have an opportunity to control your own destiny, a team's pretty young team where we are. They got to go out there and handle that business.
You got any thoughts to that, Seth? The questions were, what has this season meant? What have you learned? What do we need next year?
Oh, boy. What has this season meant? No one's going to like my take on this. Look, 7 losses in a row were god-awful. I mean, I was in line today at Publix on my way heading over here, and a guy looked at me and he says, isn't it great to be able to wear all that stuff and not be embarrassed to do so?
No.
And you know, when he said it, I was like, you know, look, I'll wear it any day of the week. I don't care what the record is. But, yeah, it feels good. It feels good to be in the mix. And you want to be in the mix in December and or January.
Mm-hmm.
Team's not good enough yet. They're just not, guys. You don't lose 7 in a row if you're good enough. I can't explain why they lost 7 in a row. There's so many different reasons. But what has this season meant? It meant that, you know, the team is getting better. I believe they are improving. People don't want to hear that. But I believe they are improving. I still hope that this team finishes above 500 again for 2 years in a row, which just that hasn't happened around here over the last however many coaches you want to go back. You'd get one flash of, oh wow, this is the year we found the right coach, we found the right system, and then 6-10, 6-10, 6-10, 6-10. I don't think that's the direction that this team is trending. That said, they're just not good enough yet. But I love the young players that they added this year. When you draft Waddle, when you draft Phillips, when you draft Holland, I mean, if that doesn't get you excited for what's to come, I don't know what will. You know, so that's what it's meant to me. What do they need? I think they need more. I think they need more players. As much as everyone thought that the wide receiver position was going to be a strength, I think if Tua is going to be the quarterback on this football team, that is going to be the big question this offseason. We understand why. But if Tua is going to be the quarterback, he needs more weapons to throw to. Because right now he's got a dynamic player in Jalen Waddle. He's got a really talented guy who's broken in a bunch of pieces in Devontae Parker. And he's given you everything he can give you at this point. Been very impressed with him the second half of the season. But I don't know how many more football games you're going to get out of Devontae Parker. I love Mike Gesicki. Don't know that they use him enough. But I don't know what you have after that.
Big decision coming there, too, this offseason.
So, you know, and that's not a decision that I'm going to be making. But I don't know what they have other than that, Juice. Yeah. And certainly in that wideout room, I don't know what they have there. So I'd like to see more weapons for Tua, and they got to keep him off the dirt. You know, they got to protect the guy, whether it's with free agency, more young players, or developing the guys they have. They have to keep him upright.
Yeah, I think every box that you checked is what a lot of fans would probably say as far as the offense goes. And I'll tell you guys mine on the other side of this break here. Also, I'll explain the one season too early theory that I've had for some time now. Get your new Mazda with Gunther Plus at Gunther Mazda or online at GuntherMazda.com. For car buying done your way, you gotta get to Gunther. Again, the final score from Nashville, 34-3. The Titans win. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. From the electricity in the stadium to the highlight reel plays, there's nothing quite like Dolphins football, and this season you can be there live to cheer them on. As the official marketplace of the NFL, Ticketmaster has you covered with the largest selection of seats for any budget. Get off the couch and into the stands. Grab your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. We'll go ahead and finish up here in just 1 second, but first let's go ahead and pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS, WKIS HD1, and WKIS HD2 Boca Raton. Home of the Miami Dolphins. Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
So you guys gave your answers on the previous segment to my three questions. I'm going to skip ahead to the last question here. We're short on time. My three things are, and Seth, you checked all the boxes in terms of how to get there, I think, but develop an offensive identity. Decide who you want to be and be it. That's my number one thing. Number two, defense, continue to do what you do, but supplement it. Don't rest on your laurels. If you can get someone to make you better at a spot where you're already good, like Javon Holland last year, do it. Don't wait around. And then also number three is a fast start, fellas. That's been the difference between playoffs and not the last couple of years. Start faster, get off to a good record, and then get that November, December momentum rolling where this team gets better every single year under this head coach and have a winning record going into that. And then we can be talking about division championships and seeding and all that fun stuff and not be trying to eke our way in. So those are my three things. And then I want to put this to you guys real quick. I have this theory that every time a team has expectations, like big expectations, I think Dolphins fans all felt like this was kind of a big year for this Dolphins team. It seems like always 1 year too early. Remember the Cleveland Browns a couple years ago? They were Super Bowl predictions left and right for that team. They fell to like 6-10 that year. And then the following year, last season, they wind up going like 11-5 and they win a division and get into the playoffs and all that fun stuff. So that's my theory, that sometimes all these expectations, all these new pieces, all the new additions you make, Ju, sometimes it takes a year for it to come together.
Yeah, I hope you're right, bro. You know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah, I hope you're right, bro. There, man, sometimes I didn't have control of that, bro. You know, I'm just a fan, just a disappointed fan right now, bro. It's even hard to articulate it sometimes, man. You know, because you know we're all expecting and hoping to get, you know, over the hump, and you know, it seems like we get to this point more often than not. And we've had some really, really bad years, but we've gotten to this point the last couple of years, and we've fallen short. You know, so I don't know. All the expectations, are they down again now? I mean, are they expecting us? How they expect us to be next year? Yeah. Considering, you know, we went 10-6 last year. Hopefully, get to, you know, what, 9-8 this year. We'll see.
Yeah, I think the way you just described, that's how most of Dolphins Nation's feeling right now. Drive Time this week, regular week, and then we have the offseason. I'll talk more about that next week and on the podcast this week on the Drive Time podcast on the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. Seth, real quick, who's coming up in the tank this week?
Well, the entire year. So we're going to do a look back, and Juice and I are going to pick our top 10 moments in the fish tank from 2021.
Perfect. Sounds good. Look forward to that, and a happy new year to you guys. We have one more game left, but I think, again, this show kind of feels like some finality to this one. So happy new year to you guys. Happy holidays. It's been fun doing this, and we're going to go ahead and get out of here. Thanks to our executive producer and booth producer, Alejandro Solana. Our studio producers, Robert Griepert and Matthew Wilson. Our radio booth engineer was Stephen J. Gray. For OJ McDuffie and Seth Levitt, I am Travis Wingfield. The final score of today's game, Titans 34, Dolphins 3. Dolphins football is going to be back on the air next Sunday with the regular season finale at Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins versus Patriots at 1 p.m. This has been the Miami Dolphins postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.